We're back. You know, we say that every time because we go away for a while and then come back.
This time we only gone for like a week and a half.
Consistency.
I think we're still pretty consistent. We released two inconsistent episodes consistently last time. When you posted with your stupid little, hey, it's Minky, and this is all Tracy's fault. But then you started the next one, you're like, it's not really Tracy's fault, but you didn't.
I forgot about that.
Here's the story. Awesome. He made it seem like it was some big deal. Basically, where we host our podcasts, there was a max limit to file size, and that episode happened to be maybe the longest episode we'd recorded, so we had to break it up into two bits. And that was it.
Yeah.
Even after compression.
There's no way we could have known that. It was just one of those things where...
Now we know. Now we know we shouldn't have 2-hour episodes.
Now we know. Now we know.
So this is a special episode again. I like to call these special episodes.
Special episodes.
And as we told you guys last time, if you made it through both episodes, both parts of the last episode, if you will, we went to a horror con, which was actually a charity weekend. And
scares that care.
And this was the fourth year.
Where? In Williamsburg.
We went to Williamsburg, Virginia, which was my first time there, which is kind of crazy. Too. Seeing as how I don't live all that far away, but it's Colonial Williamsburg, which I've always
it
heard
was
about.
Very, very colonial.
Very colonial. I mean, like legit colonial. Yeah. I kind of want to go back, but I don't want to go back in the heat that we were in because walking for like 2 seconds outside was disgusting.
Oh, yeah. It was humid, super, super, super humid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really nasty. But it's a good thing we were indoors the whole time, except for the point when the fire alarm went off in the hotel of the convention, and literally every single person in the hotel had to bail out. And we were standing on the outside of the building with all the celebrities from the celebrity showroom.
All these people in costumes and like makeup and goth. Wardrobes all black. We're out in like they're just out there sweating.
It was
together.
Hot
and celebrities
balls.
Had to come out there too.
Yeah, so I was just saying all the actresses were standing right next to us.
It was awkward. It was an awkward moment.
It was really weird. We were out there for like a half an hour.
Yeah,
I was dying, and it was actually really funny. I made a joke that somebody must have pulled it in order to steal something from the auction table, because the auction table. So essentially, they had this huge like rectangular auction table full of stuff, and we were in the middle of the auction. That's why I was like, somebody pulled it so they could steal something. And I was like, they better keep an eye on my thing. And then
trying to steal those.
Whatever. There were some like big items there.
Garage, yard sale.
You
items.
Are so weird. Like the things that you spend
I'm
your
joking,
money on,
kidding.
I made fun of you. Like you were telling me that my thing that, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but the thing that I won at the auction, you were making fun of me so hard. And I'm like, how much money did you spend on that weird helmet that you have not worn yet?
That was never made to wear. You know that.
So why would you buy a helmet for use? Mm-hmm. Like a helmet that's made for use to just sit in your house
but
as
do you
decoration.
Remember, do you remember what I said when I
bought
that?
I want you to answer it for the listeners.
What? But do you remember what I said when I bought that?
Kind of. Go ahead and say it.
Did I acknowledge that it was a waste of money? Like I bought something in the middle. It's one of those things like 3 a.m. You're like looking through. It's like online or Amazon or whatever. You see something. It's a QVC when people stay up late and buy something. I acknowledged it probably wasn't like, it was one of those impulsive buys, you know?
Yeah.
But that's what it was. Yours was not an impulsive buy.
No,
yours
it wasn't.
Was like
I thought about it.
I'm going to fight someone to get this.
But I got it so easily. Should we start with that? Seeing as how George Romero passed away within just a few days of us going there.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, George Romero. So the auction, it was the first thing that I went. Mm-hmm. I went to the table while I was waiting for you to show up.
Yeah.
And I looked at everything early that morning on Saturday. So
why was I late? You want to talk about that?
No.
So
you can talk about it.
I don't care. I can talk about it. So we went there. We both went to Scares That Care separately. You were coming from your house. I was coming from my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually ahead of you, right? 30 minutes ahead of you.
You were like 45 minutes ahead of me, and I was so stressed out.
45 minutes ahead of Tracy. I was like, and my route was quicker too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you know, this is fine. I'll wait for you there when I get there. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Right? I was like, do a lap around, see where we need to go. Yeah. Get the lay of the land.
So, of course, it's fairly early in the morning. It's about 9 o'clock, 9:30. I had, you know, for the road trip, got some fast food, coffee, and I think a burrito, some breakfast burrito or something like that from BK.
Danger.
And I was like, yes, road trip. And maybe a half hour into my trip, that sandwich was not, whatever it was not sitting well. So
maybe he didn't have scares that carry, had scares that...
What?
Scares that don't care.
didn't care where I was, don't care where what time it was. And one of my, I don't say fear, Trace, you tell me if you have this fear too. Like, like having, like you have to go to the bathroom, but the bathroom that's only available, it's like the nastiest bathroom in the world,
well,
right?
I have a
like train spotting, that one scene from train spotting, like that.
I don't have a fear of that at all.
Like my, oh, that's my fear, right? Because it's like gross.
See, it's probably because men, like when you guys are out in public, you don't have to worry about the squatting or the sitting or whatever it is that we have to do as women, like every time we go out. So it's a rare occasion for you to have to sit, right?
Huh? You're used to it, you're saying.
Yeah, like we're used to nastiness and like we can't stand up for anything. So you're like, okay, you probably don't shit out in public all that often. And so then you're like, oh God, but if I have to, like, ew, it's gross. I'm like, that's our life.
It was coming. It was coming. It was coming. And there was nothing. There was nothing anyone could do about it.
You know, all you did was kept texting me, and I'm like, this is hilarious.
And I was stuck in traffic at one point off the highway.
See, I thought you were going with like fear of shitting your pants in your car, because like that's terrible.
Yeah, that crossed my mind because it was coming. The wave was coming.
Yeah.
And like I couldn't get off the highway.
Oh my God.
It was like 10 miles till the next
exit. Did you have the sweats, like the perspiration on the forehead? Yeah. And you're and like,
The clenching of
the sphincter,
the cheeks, and the it was all my muscles. Like, I'm glad I didn't drive a stick. Like, it would.
Oh no, yeah, it's like the too much brain power to
too much motion. Yeah, right?
Yeah, be a lot.
So I did pull off. I finally made it, and that's there was a Panera.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, hey, wow, Panera is better than a gas station.
Yeah.
Right. So I went to Panera when it broke, went into the Panera, but it was one of those Paneras where like, oh, it's right off the highway, so everyone uses it as a restroom.
Right.
So it's like,
now, before you go there, did you feel inclined to having to buy something? Are you that type of person? Like, do you feel like you have to buy something in order to shit in their restroom?
Yeah. So I did. That thought crossed my mind. And but my intention was not to buy anything before I went in. I was I was gonna buy it.
You're like, I just blew up your restroom. Like, can I get a focaccia with turkey?
Ooh,
like,
focaccia. Interesting. No, I ended up getting more coffee.
What?
Black coffee.
That was like the dumbest thing. No wonder you felt weird when you showed up.
So
you needed to hydrate.
So I used the bathroom. It was fine. Like it was. Not the cleanest, but it was fine, right?
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I was on there for a good 35 minutes.
You were like, I was there for almost an hour and I was so confused. I was like, what was happening to your body?
I came out and then I had to walk back in there.
Oh my God,
I came out, I bought whatever I was going to buy because I felt guilty. So I came in and sat in my car and I started my car and I went, nope. And I turned it off and I went right back in and sat in there for like 10 more minutes. It was insane. And I didn't understand where it was coming from. I didn't get it. I didn't think it was a sandwich though. I don't know. Because
BK?
Because if the sandwich was bad, it would have came up the other way.
So not for me. Like if I eat stuff like that, it's pretty, if something is going to happen, it happens rather quickly. Like if I eat something bad for lunch, it's like by the next meeting after lunch, I'm like, I'll be right back, guys.
I'm sorry. This is grossing everybody out. Whoever's,
is it?
Yeah.
I hope they're laughing. Yeah. Maybe this is funny.
And
you almost shit your pants
back,
on the way to
when
work.
When I got back in the car and I called you or texted you or called
and
you.
And then I was ahead of you.
Yeah. Not only were you ahead of me, I was like in a funk at that point, mentally.
Yeah.
Remember? I was like, I had to take a nap or something. I can't. And that's why I missed that panel that you said most of.
Well, so yeah. Ew. So like, okay. So you show up and I was looking at the whole, all of the items for auction. And I actually have never like seen items for auction at a horror con before. No, I've done silent auctions before.
Well, this was your first convention, period.
This is my first. Yeah. So I was really excited.
The cherries popped that day, right?
I'm sorry? Cherries popped. Yeah, remember? Exactly. Yeah. We'll talk about that too. But I thought it was really cool. I mean, I did. So you're kind of making fun of me. We were talking about this before we hit record, but you're like, you're all into memorabilia. I would not say I'm all into memorabilia because I don't have anything else besides this thing I just got. And I don't find myself getting into it. This particular thing to me.
I just said, yeah, I was surprised to find that you were so into it. Memorabilia that weekend.
Sure. Well, and so I guess for me, it was kind of the first time I saw some things that I thought would be pretty cool. Like there was
just the beginning.
I know, right? There was an original signed copy of Cujo and It by Stephen King. And those things went for like $400 some odd a piece, which I thought was pretty cool.
What do you mean by original sign? It was just signed.
It was like from one of the first runs.
No, I get it. You're definitely making that up.
No, one had a little card on the inside of it. I swear it did.
It said it was first printing.
Did it? I swear to God it did. The Cujo one, I swear it did. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. There was definitely an authentication of his signature, but I don't know. They both went
not
for
a
like
lot, though. Yeah.
No, $400 some dollars. I was like, nah. I was like, I don't need, that's not something I'd want, probably. There were a couple like movie scripts signed by the cast. Yeah. I'm forgetting which movies they were now, but it was horror movies. I thought that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
There was some cool stuff in there.
Yeah, there's some cool things.
The Strained season 1.
Just The Strain. There's no D at the end.
Oh, I think that was our script.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Steve and ours was called Strained. The Strain TV show season 1, Blu-ray. It was like a box set with a bust of the vampire, I think, in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was signed by, I don't know who it was, but it was signed. The box was signed.
There were a lot of signed items.
But what I was saying was that box set was only $35. That's what it ended in.
Oh, wow.
So, which was a steal.
That's a steal
for that.
Yeah. Well, and so the thing that I got, if you go to the Scares That Care
was
Instagram.
Was it $85?
Yeah, I got it for $85 and I was only the second
$60
bidder.
Too much.
I just don't think anybody. No, the bid started at $75 though.
I'm just saying $60.
But get this. So out of all the things that they had there, the guy that runs this, the CEO that kind of runs the Instagram page, they only posted like 5 items. And I was looking them up and mine was one of the 5 items that he posted. And I was like, oh damn. And he put it up with, I'm just saying, cause he knew that it was a good thing. You might not know. But they also,
well, it could have been coincidence. The other, random
no,
thing.
Cause he also put up the Michael Myers mask that had all the signatures on it from Halloween. Then he also put up the fucking bowling ball and bowling pin with all of the Walking Dead character signatures that each, by the way, went for $450 a piece too. And then the woman, you heard it. I died. They were like, don't touch any of the gold marker signatures because it'll rub off. Yeah. I was like, that is the worst $450 to spend.
Wow. Ever. Yeah. Well, what do you do?
What do you do?
You can clear coat it, but
I don't know.
But I feel like if you clear coat it, you're sort of damaging it.
Yeah. Right. So I don't even know how you would transport that, especially on a sweaty, hot ass day.
Oh, there was the neck wasn't signed.
Oh, okay.
So you can hold it there.
Okay. Got it. So, all right. Basically the thing that I saw was this little head, kind of a severed head, sticking on a little wooden thing. And it was signed. It had a bunch of signatures. And it said George Romero signed zombie head. And I was like, George Romero, oh, my God. They actually had like 4 or 5 George Romero signed things, like a guitar. That thing went for $1,300. I was like, I don't need that. But this little head, I thought was really cool.
I don't understand the guitar context.
I don't know either. I don't know whose guitar it was.
Some guy was like, look, there's stuff in my garage. Can you just sign all of these?
Well, there were skeletons all over, or skull heads all over it. I have no idea. But anyway, I got this head, and it had a bunch of signatures on it. And I immediately knew that it was at least signatures from some of the cast of Dawn of the Dead, because I saw it would say, like, so-and-so helicopter zombie. And everybody, if you know Dawn of the Dead from 78, it's the guy whose head gets chopped off by the top of the helicopter. And then it would say, like, nurse zombie. And the nurse zombie, she's another kind of popular kind of fan favorite of all the zombies in the group of Dawn of the Dead. So when I got home, I wound up going and doing a little searching. And I was like, oh, my God. So it's several actors from not only Dawn of the Dead, but Night of the Living Dead. And I'm trying to do a little bit of digging to figure out where this head came from. It must have been some convention where a lot of these folks were at together with George Romero.
And we were fresh from the news of his passing.
Right.
So a lot of that stuff was
somebody sold it off. So I asked the guy.
I was just saying, like, all of us horror fans.
Yeah.
We had that sort of emotional attachment. Wow, he just passed, right?
Yeah, just.
So that's why.
I think I would have felt this way already. I mean, remember when that guy stopped us? I forget, he was an author, and he goes, "What's your favorite subgenre from of horror?" And I said, "I think for me, in terms of movies, I think I would have to say zombie." And in my brain immediately goes to Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, 28 Days Later, and Omega Man, and The Last Man on Earth. Like, all of those movies, they're like the first things that come to mind when somebody says, "What's your favorite subgenre?" So for me, this was like kind of important, even if George Romero didn't die that week. And anyway, so in the very top of the head, it says "Stay Scared," which was how he signed most of his things. And then it's got Steven, the guy who played Steven, and I've never known how to say his last name, but David MG. He signed it Flyboy. He was one of the main characters in Dawn of the Dead. We've got the gray suit zombie, Frank Sorrell, and he's actually passed away. Lenny Lies, he was the machete zombie, the guy who had the machete in his head in Dawn of the Dead. He signed it. The helicopter zombie signed it. We've got Sharon Cicati. I'm going to butcher her name. Nurse zombie. Kill the Brain. Oh, so Charles Craig signed it. He's the newscaster from Night of the Living Dead. And he wrote "Kill the Brain and I'm Dead." That's what he wrote on the head. And then Kyra Shawn. She wrote "I Hurt." And she was the little girl from Night of the Living Dead. She's on the poster. And then we've got the, you know, the cemetery zombie in the very beginning of Night of the Living Dead. He's like he starts it all.
Yeah, yeah.
His signature, Bill Hinsman. And then I've got Judy Ridley, who's Judy, who's that beautiful blonde in Night of the Living Dead. So all their signatures on this head, and it's sitting on my bookshelf in my living room, and I just love it. What do you mean? It's definitely their signatures. I was doing some total digging.
Okay, so the signature thing, I won't lie, that's neat. Mm-hmm. It is what it is, right? But I guess my thing was the thing that they signed on was nothing. There's no context. This random zombie had it wasn't a prop from the movie. It was some random thing someone had in their closet,
yeah,
or whatever it was.
And that was it. A statue of a zombie head.
Yeah, and they signed that. And I guess for me, it was like, you know, if I got a signature of, I don't know, some famous artist some EW magazine, because that's what I happened to have in my pocket. So he can sign that.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And it's like that was the only thing that was sort of bothered. There's little girls taking selfies in front of your house.
They're like, "Oh my God, that one's so good. Yeah, oh my God, look at them."
Yeah. So that was the only thing that bothered me. And to be honest with you, I was just giving you shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I
love it. I just love it. I'm very excited about it. And I have no idea if I'll ever buy anything.
I mean, there were like other random stuff, right? It was like there was a cornhole game. That's what those things are, right? Cornhole.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There was like a custom painted
one had Sid
game.
Haig as the clown.
And it was like signed. And someone like, I don't know how much they paid for it. It was like 100 something or 200 something. I don't know what it was.
The cornhole thing? Yeah, yeah. They got it I think you said like, yeah, it's kind of a steal for that too. It was like $125, something like that maybe.
Oh, yeah. Was it signed?
Was no, just they were just two custom paintings. And I can't remember what the other one was.
Everything was signed. I swear everything was signed.
Most everything was signed. Well, and so then the cool thing was this. So I walked up to the guy that runs this, and his name is Joe Ripple, and Joe is a really cool dude. I got to meet him because asked.
He's very
one
nice
of the,
to us.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. So
and it's a the whole event is a it's for a good cause.
Yeah, totally.
It's not
good
just
cause.
A horror convention,
right? Yeah. No. So I was asking one of the staff members at the end of the auction after we came back inside from being sweaty and hot during the fire drill. I said, "Hey, is there any paperwork with this when I go pay for this as to where it came from?" And she goes, "Ask Joe." I said, "Who's Joe?" And she's like, "Joe runs the thing." I said, "Okay." So I'm like looking around, and I was like, "Oh, the guy with the megaphone, or is that what it's called? Megaphone." And so I said, "Joe, I said, what's up with this head? Do you know like where it came from?" And he goes, "You know, I really wish I could tell you where that came from." He goes, "Here's what happens. A lot of times there's collectors who have a ton of stuff, and then they might like fall on hard times or whatever. And then they offload things to me because they know I collect things." So I was like, "Okay." And he goes, "So I'm really sorry. I don't know where it came from." I said, "You know what? It's okay." I said, "It's totally okay." I said, "I love it either way." And he goes, you know what? I've got something for you. And I said, what? What do you got for me? And he was so nice. He like took me in the back and he had another George Romero signed photograph from when George Romero did this con, I think a couple years ago, and he got to meet him. And so I was asking him, I said, oh my God, tell me what George Romero is like. He said he was the nicest, most humble guy. He was so kind.
Did you match the signature?
I'm sorry?
Did you match the signature?
It's totally legit. And it's a picture of George Romero with the monkey from Monkey Shines, which is pretty cool.
You know, like I was today when I had to sign all those documents for the car.
Mickey bought a new car today.
I can, even my signatures and all those documents, they don't match.
I know. I'll just give
another page.
Give me my car. I got a podcast to do. Come on. So anyway, I walked away with not only my zombie head, but also a George Romero picture that he signed, I think, while with Joe Ripple. And while I was back there, I said, all right, tell me, Joe. I said, I read your about page and this, you know, the
how can what? How can anyone find out about Scares for Care? Scares that care.
Google Scares the Care.
What's the URL?
I think it's Scared. Hold on. Oh. Scares that care. And search. It's scaresthatcareweekend.com. Mm-hmm. And so Joe and I, we were chatting a little bit while he was looking through this binder to find this George Romero photo. And he told me he used to be a Baltimore County police for nearly 18 years. And his partner, I don't know how many years on the force, but his partner had a three-year-old daughter, I think, when she found out that she had a brain tumor. And she didn't make it to 4 years old. So unfortunately, she lost her life and it made him want to do something. So he had this idea, and I think he was friends with the guy that did Horrifying Weekend, who I think just recently passed away, that guy, and I can't think of his name right now, sadly. But he kind of became in the know. He knew how to contact, you know, vendors, and he had a lot of contacts. So he started this 4 years ago. And I think we mentioned this on the last episode, but all of the money, literally from the auction, the ticket sales, everything, it all goes to kids in need with either childhood illness or women with breast cancer, and then burn victims.
I'm sure some of it goes back into the company to run it again.
I'm telling you, no. Like, look it up. And also, yeah. I asked him, and he said he does not get a penny from doing this. And he said none of the staff do either.
Salary, but to, you know, like to the operation.
He said that some of it pays the bills for the operation, right. And then that's it. Every other penny, literally, he said most CEOs of things like this, they keep some money. He said, I don't, neither do any of the staff, volunteers, whatever. So I was like, this is a really cool thing.
I will keep all of it.
You would keep all of it? Yeah. Shithead. So there was, you could probably speak more to this, but it had a huge vendor room. Oh. There was vendor rooms kind of all throughout the second floor too. Run of the mill, I'm assuming.
It was small. I mean, it was, okay, so I've
probably
been to
one quarter of the size of bigger cons.
Oh,
right?
God, yeah. Or less. I've been to, I haven't been to the San Diego one. It's the one that I haven't gone yet.
Yeah.
I'm just too lazy to try to stay up and try to get the tickets and stuff. Yeah. But I've been to the New York Comic Con, been to the one in D.C., and they're in big convention halls. Mm-hmm. They're not like in a hotel meeting. Yeah, room. So compared to that, it was smaller.
Yeah.
You know, but it reminds me of, I was telling our friend Steve, I was telling him that it reminded me of comic book conventions in the late 90s, where it was, you know, funny, this was also in DoubleTree Hotel, and they were just small, and no one knew, like, what, you know, they were just collectors and artists, they were just, like, all bunched up, and it was very small, very, I don't know, a subculture, right?
Yeah.
Underground type of thing.
Sure.
It reminded me of that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, I guess it did feel a little small because, so we got there, I guess, after you were done shitting and driving and I was done driving. We got there kind of late on Saturday in terms of the fact that it started at 10 and I think we got there at like 1:30. Yeah. No, I think we got there closer to 2, but maybe, I can't remember.
No, I got, you got there earlier than I did. And okay. I got there around like 1:15, 1:30.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So I had enough time to, like I said, peruse the auction table. Mm-hmm. I eyeballed a couple of things. made the commitment to bid it's on it like mid
too, right?
I'm sorry,
it was an old hotel too.
Yeah, it was older, kind of an older hotel
in the 80s maybe, right? 80s, 90s,
definitely.
That arcade was so depressing.
I know. And then we went into the celebrity room kind of right off the bat, and that was I try really hard not to get, there wasn't anybody. First of all, I was excited to see everybody's faces. It's always cool to see somebody that you've seen on television. I don't care what you say. I try not to be like a freak. You know, like keep it cool. Like don't be weird. But also there was nobody there that I was like dying over.
Did you always feel this way when I go to conventions where there's celebrities and stuff? Tell me whether you felt this way as well. And I don't know why I do. Mm-hmm. When I go into like a celebrity room where there's a bunch of celebrities behind tables and some will have people, like lines of people trying to get their signature.
Well, see, I've never been to another one, so
and some,
I don't
some
have
did.
It to compare to. Right. There were nobody in front of these tables, so I was like, these people are just here, like, ripe for the pickings.
No,
like,
no, my point is that, like, I feel sometimes I feel sorry. I feel bad.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for them. And, like, they're just sitting there behind the thing, and they're just, like, waiting for...
You mean the one with, like, no line?
Yeah.
And everyone else has a line?
I know, but it's maybe sometimes you catch them at a wrong time or whatever it is, or maybe they don't feel that way. And it doesn't even have to be celebrities. It could be, like, artists.
Yeah.
And then when they don't have... Other people have lines, and they don't, and they're just standing there going, hey, you know, like make eye contact. And I feel... I don't know why. I just feel... guilty.
Oh, I didn't feel guilty. I just felt weird. I just felt like, because you go, let's go in the celebrity room. And it was a kind of a small room. And there was a ton of people like around the, there was a bunch of people around the wall. And then there were a couple of like book vendors in the middle. They were not famous people. Well, I mean, they were famous in their own world, but they weren't famous actors. And so I do the loop and I'm just like, what do we do? This room is so fucking small. I mean, anywhere I stand, I could talk to basically anybody in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, well, you and I went in that room so many times. That started making me feel uncomfortable. Cause like we went in there like three times on Saturday and then like three times on Sunday. And I was like, they know us now by face. Like I have no idea what I'm doing in
convention
here.
Convention was small.
It was pretty small.
Vendor, vendor room was small too.
So let's talk about who was there. So there was
Tracy told me.
Tracy Toms.
Toms. Oh my God. I hope she doesn't listen to this. I even got a photo with her.
You got a photo. The only photo you wanted to get was with her, and you just called her Tracy Tomy.
I know. I don't know why where Tomy came from. Oh my God.
That was awesome. So there was
I apologize.
Tracy. So there was a lot of female actresses that all I'll list them off like this because it's easier for me to do that. But they wound up there was a bunch of females there and they were on a panel discussion that we went to, or at least I went to. You came halfway through after you were done checking into the hotel and taking a shower after your shit pass.
I had to.
I was like, as soon as we got there, you're like, can we go to the hotel and check in? And I'm going to go take a shower. I was like, what the fuck? What are we doing here? Like, you don't need to go check into the hotel.
No,
you weirdo.
I had to take a shower.
And then you come back, you're like, I need to eat. I'm just out of it. I'm like, okay, meanwhile, the con's going to be over and we just got here and okay, bye. So I went to the Q&A with these women and the panel discussion was called Badass Women and Horror. And so it was Tracy Toms. And for those of you who don't know, she was in Death Proof.
Death Proof.
And she's also in the show Love, which
I
love.
The better of the Grindhouse films, I think.
Yeah. For different reasons. I like both of them for different reasons. And then there was Laura Cayouette. And she's in Kill Bill 2, Django Unchained. Let's see. There was Carrie Remsen, who was actually, I couldn't place her name while I was sitting there and I didn't have the booklet with me, but she was in Pumpkinhead, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Ghoulies 2. So she, to me, was like one of the, she had the most credentials from horror movies, I'd say. There was, and I hope I'm saying her name right, but Pasay Powell. And she's from Z Nation. As soon as we walked into the celebrity room, I like recognized her face. And I walked up, I go, how do I know your face? And she's like, Z Nation. And I was like, nope, that's not it. And she was like, listing like nothing else off because I guess
like,
she's
how do
not
I know
really
you?
I was like, how
think,
do I know you?
Do we have, I can't remember. You were like, I met you or something. You were like, and I looked at you and I was like, yeah, like 2 nights ago when
we Googled the celebrities that were going to be at this convention. And then I just like, I recovered and I was like, hey, it's good to see you. Bye. And then Kirby Bliss Blanton was there and she stars in Green Inferno, which I still haven't seen. Samantha Ferris was there from the 4400 and then Supernatural. I was watching the 4400 when that first came out, never watched Supernatural, so I don't know her well. And then Agnes Buckner, and she is in the show The Returned, which I watched, excuse me, a show very similar called The Glitch. I want to say it was that one I was telling you about on one of these episodes. I think it was an Australian horror show that I like. And The Return is very similar, where like all these people that have died in the past have come back. So anyway, Agnes Buckner's in that. She also,
it's also a comic book too.
Yeah. She was also in the movie The Craigslist Killer, and she was also Anna Nicole Smith in the Anna Nicole Smith movie. So all of those women were up on a panel. You joined me about halfway through. Most of the questions, it was all a Q&A, and most of the questions were like, you know, how do you overcome people asking you to do nudity in movies? And the answers...
Most of the question was that?
No, I'm sorry. So that was one of the questions. And then the other question would be like, how do you overcome, say, biases or... you know, being typecasted into certain roles
challenges of being a woman. Yeah.
You could clearly, feel the challenge or whatever. You just said challenges. You could feel and sense the difficulties each of these women have.
Frustration
with the film industry in general. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sparked them to all talk about how they need to all be a part of the change and start writing their own scripts, you know, and writing scripts that include women the way that they should be included. And
I feel like there was like an answer to a lot of stuff. Like, if, you know, even amongst themselves, you know, if one actress was like, you know, I'm only typecasted in these things because of what these circumstances, yes, would I like to be in other films as well? Of course. Yeah. And then someone would like, write your own.
And I think it was Kirby Bliss Blanton that was like, well, I can't write well. So I don't think I'll ever become a writer. And then Tracy Toms was like, well, that doesn't mean it. Like, all you need to do though is like hook up with somebody like me or somebody else who does write and kind of join forces with other like-minded people. And they were like, So there was definitely like a good...
I get what they were trying to say, but I'm not sure if that's like the... only answer.
Well,
right?
I don't know what the other answers
are.
I
don't either.
It's one of the best answers. I mean, for certain, it's like, if you want to keep starring in men's movies that are written in a way that kind of portray women a certain way or objectify them, like that's going to be, you're going to be stuck in with those roles coming to you because
there are a few of them, but there are movies that are written by women and, you know, starring women as well. I don't know. I thought that was I thought that was a weird answer for me. I right now I can't explain to you why, but just a gut feeling is to say like, oh, I want to be in these things. I want to act, then go make your own. I want to be in the next Transformers, you know. And I wish I could, you know, be whatever, and then go make your own Transformers. It felt like that to me a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, because the one woman's answer was like, you're right, because I was chosen to be in this movie that I was excited about. Mm-hmm. And then the director, producer, whoever was like, you need to get naked in this scene.
Yeah.
And it was Agnes Buckner. And she was like, I have no problem with nudity. She was like, I grew up, I forget where her family originates from, but like, I can't remember what she said. But her family comes from countries where nudity, it's like you go to these spas and it's like everyone's naked and nobody cares. And so she's like, I'll get nude for movies, but not if it's like...
She was talking about public bath.
Right. She was like, not if it's about for total pure senselessness. And she said, so this director wanted her to get naked in this film. And she was like, I totally disagree. That would make no sense. Like, she just lost a family member. Why would she do this? And so she put her foot down and she said, no. But then she said, then there was this other movie where there was supposed to be this love scene and she was supposed to get totally nude, but it made sense for the story and she loved the script. So she said, yes. And that came from another question from a woman who's like, I'm an independent actress and I've done nudity, but now I can't get out of that. How do I get out of it? So like Agnes Buckner was like, I don't think you need to. But then I think it was Kirby Bliss Blanton that said she would never show her tits, she said. And then Pissé Powell was like, how do you guys keep getting offered these roles? Like, I'll get nude. And so it was this whole conversation about nudity, which I thought was pretty interesting. And then trying to remember what else they talked about. They all started talking. Somebody asked them, they were like, what else are you into?
Yeah.
And that was when I realized that Laura Caillouette, she's a fucking jack of all trades. Like, she is insane. She never sleeps. She literally said she never sleeps. She's like, she dances. She's writing things. She's acting in things.
Did she say she has a PhD?
Yeah. She's incredibly smart. She's a genius. But a lot of them are pretty busy with some cool projects. Some of them, Pissé Powell said she's going to do was a bit engaging. She apparently was born into a refugee camp in Cambodia. So she said she wants to do a documentary and go back. Mm-hmm. And And she's like, I don't know if anybody cares. I was like, yeah, hell yeah, that's an amazing story. She should absolutely do that documentary, especially now, I think.
It's interesting. I think we say that to ourselves a lot, right? When we are writing something or when we want to film something, even when we were doing this podcast, I think part of it, part of us was like that voice in our head. It was like, does anyone going to care? Does anyone, you know what I mean? Does
yeah.
Anyone, you know,
I think everybody asks themselves that.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, until you do it, you never know until you do it. Until you give it a try, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So that was that Q&A. That was fun to watch. The other Q&A I went to, so to keep going through all the celebrities that were there, there were four men who have played Jason in the Friday the 13th series, which was pretty cool. So I went to that Q&A. Were you with me on that? No, you didn't come to that one. So I went to that Q&A. It was, they called it like the Friday the 13th reunion, but, a couple of the guys that they were funny as hell to listen to. I'm not going to lie, but they were actually, they weren't like the full on Jason. They were like Jason stunt double. Like two of them were kind of like Jason stunt double. And I'll tell you their names. You guys might know them,
I feel like it was this past weekend. It was heavy, at least the stuff like in the vendor's room, maybe even a celebrity room as well, like 90s horror and slasher films. Like it was heavy leaning towards that.
I don't know why you say that, though, because like Reanimator, the guy from Reanimator was there, and that's 1985, And then there was the people from Children of the Corn.
They're all older movies.
But none of those are slashers. There was just four people from Jason and Friday the 13th. That was
maybe
it.
Just the paraphernalia, like t-shirts and like all the stuff in the vendor's room. You know, there was like machetes and like swords. Maybe that's what sort of.
It was just a lot of props. Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the celebrity vein,
a lot of Jason masks, hockey masks with
that one vendor. Yeah.
So I think all of that just combination. Yeah. Combination. No, just.
So there was a guy named Steve Dash there, and he played Jason in Friday the 13th Part 2. So he was the first Jason, because obviously if you know anything, Friday the 13th Part 1 did not have Jason. It was only the little boy version at the very end. So Steve Dash was there. He was pretty funny. He was a funny guy. So then there was Tom Morga from Part 5, A New Beginning. And again, like he played... So Jason, I had to refresh my memory because I've seen them all 1,000 times, but I can never remember which is which. So number 5 is actually the one that takes place. Do you remember? It's so you were talking about the one with Corey Feldman, right? Mm-hmm. So when Corey Feldman grows up, he turns into a character named Tommy something or other. Anyway, it's the one where they're like at a halfway house for like teenagers that are kind of messed up. Yeah. Anyway, Jason in the movie at the very end, it's not Jason. It's another dude who's like killing everybody.
Yeah.
So he's behind a mask. So Tom Morga played the stunt man of that character. All right. He was a little quiet. He was actually the quiet one out of the four. CJ Graham was there. He played Jason in number 6, which I like that one. I think that one is when, so the kid Tommy who grows up and then he's in number 5, he's having hallucinations at the end of number 5, the one that I just referenced, where the killer was actually not Jason at all. Mm-hmm. And I did not know this. Okay. Do you know that franchise was trying to turn him into the new killer and they were going to do away with Jason? They wanted him to be the new villain, but because of the fan backlash, they came back with number 6 with him in the beginning as only having hallucinations. Cause they tried to show that he was turning into a killer at the end of 5. And then they just walked away from that and they had him be the protagonist again in number 6. And anyway, in any case,
how did they have a fan backlash back then?
Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Huge already.
No.
By number 5 and 6?
My point is like...
No internet?
The studio was going to make certain decisions.
Yeah.
And how did the fans know? They're like,
letters.
Wow. Like,
fucking letters.
Well, how did they know that they were going to make that decision?
Because the end of number 5, Tommy like... I think he opens up a door and has Jason's mask on after the real killer was revealed and he's having all these hallucinations. And I remember being so confused because at the end of it, it's like he puts on the mask and he's about to kill somebody.
Oh, I misunderstood you. I mean, when you say new killer, I thought you meant just a new, completely new.
No.
Not Jason or Jason-like character.
He was Corey Feldman's character who came from like, what, number 3 or 4 and then carried throughout and grew up. So anyway, Number six, CJ Graham was there. He was really funny too. He's kind of a big burly dude. And then you and I went to the bar afterwards and he was the one sitting behind us drinking a Coke.
Yeah.
and then Kane Hodder, who is to me the Jason. And I say that because, well, he was in number 7, 8, 9, and 10. And he's been very, very kind of big in the horror space. I mean, he goes to many of the conventions. I think everybody knows of him. And so it was cool to see him talk. He's pretty funny. So essentially, also Darcy DeMoss was on that panel, and she was from Jason 6. She said she had the longest death scene out of all the deaths. I can't recall how she died. But in any case, they did a whole Q&A, and I had so much fun listening to the four of them. I was laughing so hard. So I'll run through like just a couple of short things. So Steve Dash said that he was the first Jason. They called him up. I think it was Paramount maybe, but they called him up and they were like, hey, we're going to do. Oh, and when they were filming it, the working title was actually called Jason, not Friday the 13th. They called him up. They were like, hey, we're going to do a number 3. Do you want to be Jason? And he goes, that piece of shit. He's like, fuck no. Like, why would I do that crappy ass movie? And he's like, if I had known then what I know now, I would absolutely have said yes. Mm-hmm. So then somebody asked like what their favorite death scenes all were. And Kane Hodder was talking about the scene. I forget which one it is. Oh, shoot. Is it? I can't remember which one, but it's when he's got a sleeping bag. There was like a camping or the campers out in the woods, and he has to take the body and the sleeping bag and bash it up against a tree. So yeah. He's talking about the making of that scene. They actually had a 90-pound dummy in that sleeping bag, and he said that he had these prosthetic hands on, and they wanted him to keep hitting it up against the tree, and there was blood all over it. So he said it was super awkward. He kept losing his balance and slipping, and he kept almost falling. He said by the end of it, he was getting so pissed off that he was imagining it was a human being. And I'll tell you why this is interesting in a second. He said he was getting more and more angry as they were doing the shots. But he said it's his favorite because as pissed off as he was and as awkward as it was to film that, he got into it so much that when he saw it on the big screen at the Chinese theater, he said after that death scene, like the entire audience stood up and was like clapping and cheering. So it was like the best thing ever. So he's an interesting human being.
Yeah, he is.
Another person asked the question, how did each of you get in the mentality of being a killer who, one, you can't even see your facial expressions, and two, you don't have any speaking parts? So they all answered kind of crappy answers until Kane Hodder spoke. So Kane says that if you have a spectrum of human beings and you have like a normal human being all the way over here, and then you have a psychopath all the way over here, he puts his hand like dead center in the middle and he goes, I'm pretty much like right here. And everybody kind of started laughing and he goes, I'm not saying that to be funny. I was like, okay. And he goes, he said something like, he said he would take like a quick trip to the murderously psychopathic personality. And he said it just felt natural to him. He said he has it inside of him that can kind of understand being a psychopath. And he goes, I mean, how many of you have I choked in here? And I was like, what? And I looked around and I taped this actually I recorded this on my phone. Half of the fucking audience raised their hands. And I was like, what does this mean? And he goes, I mean, you guys all know. And he goes, why do you think I take those types of pictures, the fan pictures with all you guys? He's like, I kind of fucking love choking you guys. And he goes, although I'm not allowed to do it anymore. And then somebody goes, story. And he goes, I'm not allowed to talk about it legally. So the next day I wore my Jason shirt, TJIF. And I was like, I'm going to go take a photo with him. So Mickey takes my photo with him, and he has me sit down next to him, and he was squeezing me so hard. Like, he had his arm around my arms, but he was squeezing me so fucking hard and he wouldn't let go. And then he kept telling me to take more photos. So we took like 10 photos, and I started laughing at the end because it was so awkward. And then I got up and I said, well, that was fun. And I said, sorry you couldn't choke me. And he goes, oh, I would choke the shit out of you. I was like, that's either like psychopathic weird or like sleazy.
Somewhere in the middle, like right in
like
the middle.
Right in the middle. So I just kind of laughed and went on my way.
Yeah.
But they were all there. What else? The two guys from Children of the Corn were there, which was pretty cool. We had Franklin. Yeah, John Franklin, who played Isaac and Cousin It in Adam's Family. But he played Isaac in Children of the Corn. And then Courtney Gaines, who played Malachi. And I when do you remember when I saw them, I was like, oh my God, it's so weird, because I picture them as children.
Yeah.
And so like now they're older men, and it's so bizarre. And then Julian Sands was right there, and Jeffrey Combs. So Julian Sands is from Warlock, which I just recently watched about 6-8 months ago. And so I still first
rewatched.
No, rewatched. I mean, I used to watch that all the time when I was a kid. And then Jeffrey,
all the time.
I did. I loved that movie.
It was good. It wasn't good enough to watch it all the time.
I did. I really liked it. I still do. I don't know. You know, he eats that one little boy, which is so funny. But then Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator was there. I was kind of surprised you didn't get more excited, because you've talked about Reanimator so much.
And the movie has a special place for me, just because,
takes you back.
Yeah, it was scared out of my pants when I watched that movie at the theater. And I think we talked about the fact that I saw it in a 99-cent theater.
Yeah.
And then watched it again as an adult and realized, oh, this is sort of a comical, like, horror film. But when you were like 10, and you don't know that, you see like dead people with guts hanging out, and the gore was pretty good for its time. And that one scene,
I know which scene you're talking about.
With the head.
We don't need to.
That is just so messed up. I know. As a kid, it's gross. I don't know what the hell I was watching. Right? I just like, what is going on here? Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, did I tell you that the funny thing? Like, the guy's wife, after the film was shot, and it was like,
Hold on. Are we talking about Jeffrey Combs' wife?
No. Oh. No. The actor who played that zombie, the doctor, who has his head cut off and he keeps it in a pan. His wife divorced him after the movie was released, after she saw the movie in that scene.
Okay.
And she divorced him afterwards.
I thought you just said she got shot.
No. Oh. I didn't say that.
I think you said
shot the movie after it was shot.
Oh.
After it was shot. Okay. Man. She divorced him.
Oh.
I read that somewhere.
Of that scene?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, he was.
It's a touchy woman.
She's like. Yeah.
She's like, you're cheating on me. Yeah. In that scene, kind of weird.
Yeah, maybe there. Oh, who knows? Maybe there was a thing behind the scenes with those two.
Oh,
anyways,
okay.
It was a seminal horror film for me in my life. When I was growing up. That there's a handful of them, but that's one of them.
Sure.
Yeah, and so, but I don't know.
You weren't excited to see him.
It wasn't something that like, oh, that's my horror film. I need to go. Yeah, I need to go.
What, Children of the Corn. Yeah,
take a photo with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so you took a photo with Tracy Toms. I took a photo with Kane Hodder. And then the two of us took a photo that was very special to me. So the last celebrity I'll talk about is Count Gore Duvall. Now,
celebrity in quotes.
Celebrity. He's a local celebrity. Actually, if you look on Wikipedia, he's one of the most popular figures in DC media history.
Yeah.
Which I would totally agree with.
That's why you and I resonated, right?
When yeah, 100%.
Like, oh, crap, it's the Count.
I love him. So when we walked up to Count Gore Duvall, I kind of made a little funny because I said something like, oh, I'm so glad to see your face didn't melt because of the fire drill and us being in the hot heat outside. And he kind of laughed, and he was super cool. He was very nice, very charming. He, with his, white gloves, grabbed my hand and kissed my hand like only a count would. I swear, man, I'm just getting all the love from these celebs. And, but we were talking to him for a little bit. We took a picture with him. He was super nice. I bought
an old... He was in makeup too outside when we were doing the fire.
That's what I was just saying.
Oh, did you?
Yes, that's why I said you'll have
to... I was busy taking photos.
I know. So I said to him that he had a bunch of different kind of DVD collections with like those terrible, just printed at home.
With color paper.
Color paper. Just like black and white on color, like a yellow color paper.
And then Xerox many times. That's what it looked like.
I was like, which one should I buy? And he goes, well, it depends on what you want. And I think he thought we were cool when he realized we knew who he was and that I grew up watching him in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I said something like, well, I want whatever you had back when you did Creature Feature. And he goes, well, then get this one. And you were like, dude, you bought the $40 set. And it's movies I have. Like, it's old black and white horror films that I already have. But
All of them from the far away, they look the same, except different color, right?
Yeah. And some were like 10 bucks and some were 20.
Well, most of them were 10 bucks. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, whatever. That's 10 bucks. That's pretty cool. DVD. I mean, who buys DVDs anymore? Whatever, right? And then like I'm flipping through it and he goes, buy that one. Yeah. So I picked it out for you. I pulled it out for you.
Yeah.
And that one had 40 on the corner. I was like, oh.
I mean, here's the thing.
I was like, oh my God.
So I said, okay, I want this one because it had like 6 old horror films and it was from his creature feature show. So let me, and just in case you don't know, he was on WDCA back in the day and the show started in 1973. Yeah. If you're local, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. If not, it was a local public television show.
That eventually became CW.
I guess.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it started in 1973 and went through 1987. I think he either canceled or something, but he's basically been around since then. He's been doing things. He got another TV show for another few years. He's just been very active in the local community.
So it's funny, so if you watch our horror community. If anyone watch Fright Night, the movie,
it's like that.
That
he's
guy
like
in
the television
beginning.
Show. Yeah, yep, exactly.
It's exactly like that.
And his show is called Creature Feature.
Yeah.
And
he's dressed like a vampire.
So yeah, he's dressed like a total
not a vampire killer.
Dracula.
Yeah.
Right. No, not a vampire killer. So he became really popular because he like satirized national politics with like his own kind of perspective on things.
Yeah.
And I read that so there were other like horror. What do you want to call them? Like television shows that you and I were like, oh, that's a very interesting little bit of info that I guess all kind of died or withered away with the dawn of SNL,
which is,
but
yeah,
he
I like that insight.
Still
it's
remained
funny.
Really
it's
popular cool. because I guess of his like his willingness to poke fun at politics. And also he had, he had a lot of penthouse pets.
Also
on his
Creature
show.
Feature. Wasn't it on Friday nights? Not on Saturday.
I have no idea, honestly.
That's why he's lying.
I don't know. But then also we read that they said that his show was successful, more successful than others, because of his sexual innuendo with that other woman that he had on the show.
I don't remember that.
And it was always like they were like near misses of being together.
Well, I do remember it was on really late.
Yeah, yeah. But I remember him. I remember watching the old movies. So anyway, I bought this DVD collection. My point is this. I spent $40. I got the DVD thing. We got to talk to him a bit and I got a photo. Meanwhile, I paid $40 for Kane Hodder to squeeze me a little bit. And
that you enjoyed.
I didn't.
You did.
No, that was a little creepy. That's a little creepy. All I wanted was a picture with the guy who I
think
was Jason.
He didn't
want to
get up. That's why. Remember?
Yeah. What was up with
that? I don't
know. You thought he was drunk. You thought Kane Hodder was drunk.
Oh, he was definitely drinking. Yeah.
On a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
That was early that
day. Yeah. He had like a bottle and he was pouring it into he offered it to someone.
Some woman.
So yeah, and she was
like
oh,
a woman,
yeah, she was like, oh, no, I'm good. I'm good.
I've had enough. What.
Yeah, I had enough or something. Definitely, so he was drinking.
Oh my God. It's a hard life being on the road.
Yeah.
I think that's what I asked him. I said, are you getting out of here? So you going home soon? And he goes, no. Something like, no, if I don't have to work the day after these things, I usually just hang out and I don't do something. So I'm sure he's just in it to drink and
sure
hang
the flight
out.
Was cheaper on Monday too.
Probably. He's like, I gotta add up all these $40 autographs and pictures and
he's like, Sunday
save
flights
my money.
Cost more, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like the con is paying for his hotel, yeah. So I'm sure. I'm sure.
Where
anyway.
Does he live?
I have no idea. I didn't look it up. So anyway,
it doesn't cost that much to fly to Iowa.
Where? What'd you say?
I say it doesn't cost that much to fly to Iowa.
What is in Iowa?
I don't know. That's the first. Thing
first
think
thing
of,
we came to, you, that's
that
where
like,
you think he
that,
lives?
That was
sure
like,
he lives in LA, right?
That was like a rural
should
place.
We look up, should we look up where he lives? Kane Hodder.
I just had it up too.
He was born in California, yeah. So I'm sure he still lives there.
Auburn.
He's 6'4", that guy.
He didn't see him, right? Because he was sitting down. Not when he was sitting down, but like, you know,
no, he's a big motherfucker.
Even if he was sitting, if someone who's really tall, even if they're sitting down, you can tell.
Oh no,
he didn't seem that.
He did. Yeah. His legs looked really long.
Long,
to me. Yeah. Because
yeah,
he sat down next.
His
day.
Head and everything else didn't.
Yeah.
Make it seem like he was a tall person.
He's a big dude. The other thing that he said that was a little bit funny. They all had like a funny kind of. Whatever you want to call it, dynamic between each other. But the one thing that he said, which was a little funny, you said that the game apparently is getting really bad reviews, but the new Friday the 13th game, he was the one that they called to do like the, what do you call it? The motion tracking? Is that what it's called? What is it called?
Yeah.
Where you have, and he said, he's so happy he was the one called. He loves it. He's really happy. But he said it's really hard to play an evil villain when you're wearing like a leotard. Like, because he's not dressed up. Like he's got like the motion tracking balls and shit on him, you know? So I laughed kind of hard on that one, but.
He's prolific. He's
anyway.
Huh? I mean, I was just looking at all of his acting and stunts.
Yeah. Yeah, he started as a stunt guy.
I was saying it was prolific. I mean, he has a lot of stuff on here.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that's kind of the majority of the celebrities that were there. In that room was a woman who is like a women in horror, if you will. She's a writer, editor, and letterer for comic books. And so she had a bunch of books in front of her, and I've got this in front of me. It's called In the Dark, a horror anthology. And it's a compilation. She raised a bunch of money on Kickstarter to put this thing together with a ton of horror writers and illustrations. Novel. Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, the size of it.
I haven't opened
it up.
It's a coffee table book. I'm so excited to break into it, though. And she was there at a little table with these things, and she was really nice.
What about Spellspawn?
I also bought a book by Ricky Fleet called Hellspawn. It's a zombie novel, so we'll see. I don't know why Mickey's making fun of me. But anyway, so this horror anthology, she signed it for me, which was really nice. And then she goes, you know, Brian Keene's here too. So she goes, he's right over there. Why don't you go ask him for a signature? And I go, I think you have a little bit more clout. Why don't you go interrupt him? So she went over.
She just didn't want to get up.
Well, she did.
And then she did.
Yeah. Stop. So she got Brian Keene to come over.
It was nice of her to say that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And then he signed it. And so that leads me to the next thing. I went to a podcast room, and there was a bunch of podcasters there, horror podcasters. And I didn't go to any of their live sessions, but I did go to the Q&A with a bunch of them that was like, so you want to start a podcast?
I didn't even know where the live sessions were, like the room. It was going on all day, and we couldn't find it.
No, I found it a bunch of times. Yeah, I knew exactly where it was.
Well, how come we didn't go the next day? Because we were like looking for. I was looking for it.
Oh, I asked you if you wanted to go, and you never seemed interested. It was so where all the vendor rooms were. There was that one vendor that was like etched glass. There was a room right next to that, and that's where it was. But anyway, I went in there, and
I didn't like that section, by the way. Yeah. It was like haunted house, like room after room.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Especially like in all the little meeting rooms, there was like vendors packed in every little meeting room too, outside of like the main huge vendor room space, which I would have been pissed if I was one of those people in those little teeny rooms.
I hate it when we walk into one of them and we're the only ones,
and everyone's staring at you. Like, you're like, hi. Please buy my books. Yeah, and you're stuff. Like,
oh shit.
And like, buy my dolls and buy my masks and buy all my stuff. So anyway, we didn't buy much. You bought like a movie prop. I bought a book, two books, and then my head. I didn't know what I was going to come at. You know what I really wanted? I really, really wanted.
It's okay. When my first convention, I was like buying all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
What I really wanted. So my old horror professor, or history of horror film professor, and he was also one of my graphic design professors. He used to talk about how these horror cons that he went to was where he would get all these movies that are just so hard to find, you know,
back in the day.
And there wasn't one movie collector, there was one, but they were all like new DVDs, Blu-rays. Yeah. I wanted hard to find horror films.
Well, I think it's because
like foreign horror or like ones that you can't get anymore or rent or anything.
Well, here's the thing. I think back in the day, even like just in the 90s, like if you saw some movie on VHS or dubbed or whatever at a convention, there was a good chance you weren't going to see that movie again, you know, for like years or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's like you buy it or like you never seen it before. Like, what the heck was this? I remember going into like one of those anime conventions before anime got huge, and I would see like, I don't even know, like triple dubbed Akira.
Yeah.
And like, oh my god, what is this? I need to get a hold of this. Yeah. You know, this is amazing. It's, you know, but now it's everything is accessible. You can find something, some of it, a clip of it or whatever on the internet.
Yeah.
And that's what's hard to
find. I don't know though. I feel like there's some that like I remember seeing when I was a kid that if I search for it on any of the platforms that I can search for right now, mm-hmm. on our PlayStation, like I can't find them. I mean, and there's no more Blockbusters with like old ass horror films. So I kind of was a little surprised that there wasn't somebody like that there. That was all. That was one thing I wanted.
Did you know Blockbuster still exist? They got bought out by I think they're streaming only, but they were bought out by some, what's the other satellite company? Not DirecTV, the other one. There's one that was like their competitor, but they,
I'm blanking. I don't know.
Anyway, it's like they own it. Because like I saw something.
Well, what are they doing? Do they do like, direct DVDs anymore?
No, it was like one of those on demand movie thing, and it was like powered by Blockbuster. It's weird. Like, whatever.
So it's weird. Like, I got a soft spot in my heart for Blockbuster. I still miss the shit out of it, but Yeah, I don't know. So no. That was the one thing I was missing. But the podcast room, I went into there and admittedly, I'll fully admit, I have not listened to any of these podcasts yet, but I'll plug them because they were there. Michael Darwin was the guy that moderated the panel discussion. And he does Dark Discussions podcast. Then Drew Badger was there.
I hate to interrupt you.
I'm sorry. Interrupt me too.
It just hit me.
What?
That image you sent me yesterday on Instagram, that was a Blockbuster?
Yes.
You know what I thought it was? God.
What?
I thought it was Best Buy.
No, it's the movie ticket.
I thought it was Best Buy. So
I sent Minky this Instagram post. And you're going to interrupt and we're going to talk about it? Yes, we're going to talk about it. So it was an Instagram post that I saw, and it's like an old Blockbuster that has been painted white.
White, yeah.
And it was like...
Was it Photoshop white or was it just painted
white?
No,
I think it was painted white. It was like, if your girl don't know what's behind the white paint, she's too young for you.
Well, it didn't say she, it wasn't... Isn't that shit? What did she
yes,
say
it did. It did. Yeah, it was about like girls who are too young.
Yeah,
and so
and I didn't know. I was like, I thought it was Best Buy. I saw that. I was like, what?
But now
Best
it's hitting
Buy?
You right now.
Now it's talking about Blockbuster. Yeah, I was like, oh, that was a Blockbuster.
Anyway, okay. So I met Drew Badger, who's like a really, really nice guy, and I got to spend some time with him outside during the fire drill. And he hosts the Big Scary Show. His podcast is really cool from what I've heard about it. I promised him I would check it out. He goes around. He's a really cool dude. He goes around to like all the haunts, like haunted houses, haunted rides, haunted, you know, forests, whatever. He goes to all of them. He started this, I guess, because I think this is what he said. He teaches acting to the like characters that dress up in makeup or whatever at these
carnies?
Haunted. They're not called carnies, but like he teaches like how to act during these, you know, whenever they're putting on these things. And so anyway,
to
jump and be scary.
Yeah.
Jump scares. And then he goes to like every convention. He's got people all around the US to do this podcast together. Mm-hmm. And it's like a traveling show. And so anyway,
he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, he's been doing it for a long time. He's a really cool guy. I think he's also a VO, so you can hire him. I'm pretty sure for his voice, I think is what he said. And then Elizabeth Gray was there from she's one of the sexy witches. I think the show is called, I'm trying to remember.
Can we talk about the person that you and I both missed?
Can I finish this list? Archivist Bet on Sexy Witches. And then last one, Dave Thomas from The Horror Show. And he does it with, it's The Horror Show with Brian Keene. Brian Keene's the one that came over and signed my book after Rachel Deering. Did I say her name earlier, by the way? Rachel Deering. She brought him over, but apparently their podcast has a ton of followers. So I was asking them the most questions about how to get more people involved with our podcast. And I got to plug our podcast during that Q&A, which was cool. And then lastly, there were two dudes that sound like they do something very similar to ours called We Belong Dead. And guys named Richie Yates and Ian Martino. And they said that they had just like... They just talk in their basement about horror movies. So I was like, it doesn't sound too different from us. So anyway, that was cool. That's all I want to say.
Dining table.
Now you may say whatever you wanted to say. Who did we miss? What did we miss?
The Night King was
the
there.
The Night King, yeah. That was a little unfortunate.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Without icy makeup, I did not know that the Night King from Game of Thrones was there the whole time. And we were eating a sub right next to him. And I said, those dudes right there look like dudes I want to hang out with. And you're like, those are just like random dudes. No, it was the fucking Night King from Game of Thrones.
Who cares?
Yeah, you were like, who cares?
I was so like, my bunghole was.
You were such a bummer right then. I was like, and then when I was talking to Drew Badger, you weren't talking either. I was like, can you get your poop mind out of here?
I wasn't right.
Clear your poop mind.
I was not right.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, Night King was there, man. I would have been like, come at me, bro.
So that was the horror weekend, and let's end with Saturday night. Let's end with what happened Saturday night.
Oh, it was our very first Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't know, like event.
Screening event thing. You know how
everyone dresses up and they sing along and they have the whole shtick of the
call and response.
Newspaper and all that. Like, so it was our first time. So
we
they
got spotted.
Drew V on our foreheads to
stand for virgin.
To stand for virgins. But if you go to our Instagram, One Final Scare, You should see the V they drew on my freaking forehead compared to Tracy's. Tracy was just a little small. Like, you know,
mine was bigger than everyone else's.
Okay,
though,
so it was right size.
Yours was just really big because your forehead's just it goes further back.
And then he went all the way back. I look like a freaking airbender from Avatar. A big arrow on my head. I was like, this is insane.
I know. But it was really fun. They had a bunch of people act out the entire movie the entire time on stage in between two screens. Yeah. The sound quality sucked and we were kind of far back. But
I think if the sound was a lot louder, it would be a lot more fun.
Yeah. And then there was,
fun though.
It was very fun. Yeah. I had a really great time. It's so interesting to me. I mean, like, I'm mid-30s, right? I remember my dad talking about going to, you know, screenings of this. And whenever we used to watch Rocky Horror Picture Show at home, he'd yell out, "Janet, you slut." And I was like, what the hell is wrong with my father? Like, I had no idea what that was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, this was his movie. Like, he fucking loved this movie and, you know, yelled out at the screen, all the stuff. And yeah. And so I grew up with him kind of doing the call and response shit, having no idea what the fuck he was doing. And and of course, since I've grown a bit older, like, I did know what he was doing and I do know what these nights are like. I've just never been to one.
Yeah.
And so it was really fun. Of course, I don't know how people remember all the call and response lines. I mean, there's a line for every single line of the movie, pretty much. There was a dude sitting to our, and I guess my point is this, I'm mid-30s. My dad, he would have been, 62 or something this year. There were like 20 somethings that knew every line and everything to this thing. I just love that.
They went to multiple.
Huh?
They probably went to multiple showings.
Yeah. I met with a girl. She's just graduated from AU yesterday. She's been to a bunch of them. She like knows it all. I think that what's interesting, the horror community in general, things like this, the kinds of people it draws, they're like super interesting people. And I just love how there's this kind of tie that binds and it carries through generations with stuff like this that people enjoy. And, you know, they let loose. There's no cares. You walk in with, like, clearly you cannot have your ass on your shoulders. You can't be too cool for school. I mean, they pulled me up on stage and we won't even talk about what they were having me do with people. It was hilarious. You're not going to post those pictures ever.
Pictures,
but they were doing like all kinds of crazy things.
Videos.
I know. The virgins had to get up on stage. We'll just say that and do some interesting things.
One day, maybe I will post that.
No, we're never posting the videos. I'll just say this. I'll say they paired us up with strangers and they made, let's just say maybe they made a girl like eat a banana that I had opened and peeled that I had sticking between my legs.
Hey, listeners, if you want me to post this video, go ahead and send an email to onefinalscare@gmail.com.
No.
If we at least get 10 emails, I will post it.
You're not going to post it.
We're not getting 10 emails.
The girl that I was paired off with was super cool, though, and she was dressed in cosplay, and she was dressed as the Pilgrimess from 13 Ghosts,
I was very
dressed so good. She looked awesome. Her name was Brie. Shout out to Brie,
I was very surprised of your
willingness.
No, your flexibility.
Oh my God. Shut up. I kept looking out. I was like, this is so weird. And then you had your head like tucked down the whole time. It was like, I felt like you were trying hard not to watch me and embarrass myself up on the stage. But then you have all these fucking videos. So I was like, how is he taping these videos? Every time I looked over you, you were like this.
Oh really?
Yeah.
No, I was definitely looking up and just taking photos of, maybe I was looking at the photo that I had just taken of you.
But anyway, so the Rocky Horror Picture Show, that was fun. We were out till 3 in the morning.
Was that 3?
That's pretty funny. And I really had a good time. I think there's another horror con coming up.
One a year is good enough for me. Huh? No, I'm just kidding.
I kind of want to go to the next one. I want to say it's in September.
It is.
And I forget what city it's in. It's close. It was only like an hour and a half away.
I thought it was Hunts Valley, Maryland.
Hunt Valley, Maryland. Hunt Valley. Yeah. I'll check into going to that.
Is Hunts Valley a brand for like breakfast sausages? Hunts Valley?
Well, there's Hunts Ketchup.
Okay.
I don't know if there's Hunts Valley, but so it was great. It was so fun.
Yeah.
And so last episode, we asked you guys to tell us, should we do... we asked us if we should do Life and Alien.
How'd that work out?
And neither one of us watched the other movie. So we're going to do Martyrs. And also, Minky bought a Martyrs t-shirt.
I did.
So we're going to do Martyrs.
I did.
Next. The French version.
I'm such a poser. I haven't even seen the movie.
You've never seen it. You're like, I'm going to get that Martyrs shirt.
It was the only one that was good in the whole.
There were more than that.
was okay.
I almost bought The Craft with all the girl, all the witches from The Craft.
Except
that was pretty
fun. Except the small, the girls walking together, they didn't have faces.
I know. So I didn't like it either. That's funny. I didn't either. There were a couple good ones. I was actually surprised you got the Martyrs one.
So before we sign off, I want to talk about real quick how Tracy and I, our daytime jobs, we work in creative, and we work in creative at a pretty good big companies, you know, and we have decent sized budgets, and obviously we were hired because whatever.
Why were we hired?
Because we are good at what we do.
Oh,
or
thanks.
Somewhat good at what we do.
Somewhat.
But listen.
I'm listening.
But tell me if you agree with me.
Okay, maybe not.
During this, you know, and just this is just any con, but we're going to talk about this con because you
I
and
have
I were,
no idea
you,
where you're going.
That you and I were at this con together. There was a lot of, I don't know, art posters or whatever that was designed.
Mm-hmm. With like bad typography and like,
yeah, I mean, I get that everyone doesn't have to be.
Oh, like
creative.
All the low res photos.
It was
yeah.
killing me. These little details. I was like, there were banners. There were like less than 72 DPI. Oh, I don't know why. 72 DPI, and I was just like,
nobody has any
who
idea
cares,
what 72
right? yeah.
DPI means.
Who cares, right? They did it. They made a banner. What does it matter?
But they're huge.
I know, and it's just like. This part of me, I was just like, oh,
dying inside. Yeah, I know.
Like, who approved this?
You're like, if I was the creative director, you'd be fired. I know.
I just like, yeah, like photos, like printed on photo paper.
I
was like, oh.
It's like if you only had us to help you.
Who designed this?
I know.
But you know what?
Also, all the posters behind all the celebrities, what you and I said was kind of yeah. funny. So it'd say they like their name really big, and then I have a banner of stars, just like in a horizontal
line. I don't
line.
Know why.
And then it had like
stripes,
like
has
four movies
too.
That they has played
stripes.
In. Yeah. And Minky goes, all of these look like they're all like politicians running for seat.
Yeah, they all look like they're running for office.
Yeah. And so we kind of used that bit to open up the conversation with Tracy Toms when we walked out. We were like, Tracy Toms for president. She's like, what? No. And I was like, no, like all your signs. She laughed. Yeah. She was like, oh yeah. So
anyways.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, you know what? The other people that were there, last thing, if you care about Face Off, the show Face Off, and I think we've referenced that before.
I've actually never seen that.
The guy Roy Woolley was there, who I love. And I walked past. I was like, you're one of my favorites. He was like, thanks. And he was doing some cool, he did like a 4-hour working session. You had to pay like, I don't know how much money to do it. But he would he's really amazing at fabrication.
Yeah.
He was like, he was the guy on Face Off that's like, oh, you're so good at fabrication. But you're like your makeup might suffer because of that. But he was so fantastic.
What does that even mean?
I'm sorry?
What does that even mean?
So fabrication is like, he's really good
like,
at
why
creating.
Why would the makeup suffer?
So like fabrication would be creating, say like a huge tail or like parts to a monster, but like necessarily like applying the actual makeup design was not his strong spot, right?
Oh, okay.
So,
but you made
that
it
was
sound
his special
like,
sauce
okay,
was fabrication.
Okay, okay. You made it sound like
it's hard to be on Face
Off. Fabrication,
it is.
Makeup will suffer. Like he could
like,
be.
There
could
was
be
another
good at both though.
I feel like I watched like enough seasons to see that somebody always had their strong suit. Like other people that could apply makeup really well, they wouldn't be good in fabrication. Mm. There was one girl who was extremely good at body spray, body painting, couldn't get. By that show. I mean, she suffered because that was the only thing she could do. Anyway, he was one of my favorites. He's like a super, super sweet guy.
He was
always
a guy
wears a cowboy
on Sunday?
Hat.
He was a guy on Sunday?
We saw him both days. He was sitting right in front of the auction table.
Yeah,
he's a really nice dude. But anyway, we walked past. I just said hi to him. And there was another guy that I remembered from Face Off. I think his first name was Tyler, and I'm forgetting his name right now, but he was there too. Anyway, it was really cool. I had a good time. I just wanted to plug that too. Face Off, I kind of abandoned the show after so many seasons because I had just seen enough makeup artistry, but it's kind of like another piece of me wishes I had done that movie makeup, but anyway.
So I think that's enough. That's enough.
That's enough.
That's it
that's
for
enough.
Our special, about our special
we're done
episode.
Special sode. Is this special sode like number
special
two?
Special sode, number three.
Number three?
Yeah,
okay,
three.
Cool. All right.
So anyways, we'll be back next week.
Will we?
Yeah.
Will we be back?
Yeah, hopefully.
Consistency is how you started this conversation.
We have to.
So go watch Martyrs, the French version, if you never have. Minky said he refuses to watch the American, even though he has no idea what the story's about. I think I actually read it wasn't too terrible. I think they tried to switch up the end a little
bit. When I told you that we would talk about Martyrs in the past,
Martyrs.
You were like, oh my god, that's not plural, right?
It's martyrs. Plural?
Okay, mm-hmm. Martyrs. You were like, the American version, oh my god, sucks.
I just said they always sucked.
And but so I'm like,
I know.
I can't believe you're throwing me under the bus. I'm on
well,
your
you decided
on your
today. You're just like, I'm not going to watch that. I was like, okay. All I'm saying is this.
I didn't decide today. That was my intention.
Already?
To be, yeah.
Okay. So just, I looked it up online and I guess it's not getting, it didn't get like terrible reviews. But anyway, we're going to watch the French one. I have seen it. So we're kind of breaking. Well, you had already seen The Host. That was the first movie we've covered that mm-hmm. one of us had seen it. So we're going to do Martyrs. It's been some years since I've seen it even. But
so let's just watch it alone.
No, we're going to watch it together right now. Okay, so you guys go and watch that movie if you don't want us to spoil it, even though it was made in 2008, and or just listen to us talk about it next time.
All right. All right. This is Minky signing off.
This is Tracy.
Bye.
See ya.